say that you are a God who is great, you are a God who is mighty, and you are a God worthy of our worship. And God, I pray that even as we come out of this time of worship through singing, God, that we would continue in our worship through the word of truth. And God, that we would apply that word of truth to our lives so that we can continue the transformation that you have planned for us. And God, no one else can bring about that transformation but you. You and you alone. So we trust you with that. We surrender ourselves to you. It's in the name of Christ, our Lord and Savior, our God, our Creator, that we pray. Amen. We're really continuing in Ephesians chapter 4, and we are going to continue this process. And I normally, on this particular Sunday, over the last several years, have made this kind of our vision day. It's kind of rethinking where we have been and where we are going, and we've talked about the opportunities that we've seen. But we have gotten so immersed in Ephesians chapter 4 that I felt like we shouldn't quit that. So we'll do that in a couple of weeks. We'll talk about celebrating our past and forging forward in our future. And we'll see what that looks like. And we'll celebrate that together. But I wanted us to continue in Ephesians chapter 4 because I think it's extremely important for the continuity of what we've been doing. Because I think what we have seen in Ephesians chapter 4 is that Paul has told us through Ephesians chapter 1, 2, and 3, this is what a Christian is. And in Ephesians chapter 4, he seems to take a different tone. He seems to kind of turn the corner, and he seems to say, therefore, you are a Christian, therefore, act like it. And hearing about what a Christian is and hearing about what a Christian does seems to be something that we all can attest to. It seems like it's something that we hear and we say, yes, that's right. That's what a Christian is. But the point at which we apply that and we say, this is what a Christian is, now we need to act like it, sometimes it seems like there's a disconnect. It's not that we don't want to be connected to Christ. It's not that we don't want to act like a believer, but for some strange reason, it seems like when transformation is taking place in our lives, we are resistant to that. And I actually think that as we continue this morning, if we look at this in a little bit different way, I think we see Paul telling us why it is that we seem to continue to go back to the old stuff. It seems to tell us that, yes, we need to act like Christ. We need to put on the very clothing of Christ, put on his heart, his mind, his attitude. We want to be clothed with purity. But Paul seems to indicate that there's a reason that we as believers don't continually do that. And so the goal for us, all of us who have put our faith in Jesus Christ, is to continue to be transformed, to continue to walk in the light. But for some reason, there seems to be an attraction to darkness, and Paul seems to give us the answer for that. And so if you will, take your Bible, and let's continue in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, we've gone through the first 16 verses, and we're going to look at verses 17 through 24. And I would just tell you a couple of things about that change of behavior, that metamorphosis. Is number one, that change in us as believers should be a deliberate process. We know that God is doing the work, but we need to be surrendered to that work. Okay, it's a deliberate process. We also know that deliberate process is going to stretch us in a lot of different ways, maybe in a way that we weren't necessarily prepared for. And in that stretching us, I want you to know that we will be able to see that among one another as we continue to produce fruit. We see even Paul telling us that you will know a tree by the fruit that it produces. We also know that you will know believers by the fruit that they produce. And so with that thought in mind, with us thinking through a change in behavior, with us thinking through metamorphosis, us completely having a change of heart, mind, body, spirit, we then ponder just a little bit why that seems not to take place like we want to. You ever been sensitive to that, by the way? You wonder why it is that it seems like some people grow in the Lord and it seems like their growth is rapid. And then it seems like there are other folks who are walking and trying to walk with the Lord, and it seems like time after time after time after time, they're setback, setback, setback. I want you to know that I don't want to be judgmental, because if I was going to be judgmental in this particular passage, I would only be being judgmental towards myself. It's too painful. Don't want to do that. But I do want to deliver content here this morning that is really a warning for us. Maybe an opportunity for us to see something that we haven't seen before. And so, Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 17, I'd ask for you to stand for the reading of God's word together. We'll read this word. We'll continue our worship in applying this word. It says this, starting in verse 17. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. God, make your word come alive this morning. God, help us to put aside any of the things that might distract us, any of the things that are said that we may want to run from. Help us to do the hard work of surrendering our lives to you this morning. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. So I think that there are some things contained within the passage that we can draw out, and I think that if we will look at what's being said in the passage and compare how our lives are being surrendered in this particular situation, we're going to find some areas in our life that we will likely be able to say, I should surrender a little bit more. So the first thing I think that we see in verse 17, 18 is that unified believers embrace a new way of thinking. So when we became a believer, when we trusted Christ as our personal Savior, there is a new way of thinking that we need to continue. Now, I know that there are two schools of thought here, and I'm going to try to be very direct in how I present these two schools of thoughts. Again, I don't know that there's necessarily one right way, but I'm going to tell you where I stand so that maybe you can get perspective from your pastor. There is a school of thought that says, hey, for someone to become a believer, they need to make sure that they've gotten everything out of the way. And so when you talk to someone and you say, do you want to become a believer? And they say something along the lines of, I'd like to do that, but I've got this, 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 and this. All these vices that I want to hold on to, and I'm not ready to let those go. And then there is a school of thought that says, okay, you're not ready to be a Christian. You're not ready for what God wants to teach you. There's another school of thought that would take that same exact situation and hear the person say, I'm not ready to give up this, 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 and this. And that person would say, I'm not asking you to give up this, 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 and this. I'm saying, trust Christ, and he is going to transform your life. Okay, I'm not the first school of thought, by the way. I am the second school of thought, but here is... Here's the caveat I want to make sure that we understand. In the second school of thought, we understand that God is transforming us. That is not license. Baptists, hear me out. That is not license for us to live however we want to live. We are changed, and we are being transformed, and God is doing the work. And what we need to do is to surrender to the work. God is chiseling away things in our life that seem to have been ingrained. God is doing the work to bring light to dark places, and we seem sometimes to be resistant to that change. And I am telling you that when we are in Christ, we need to surrender to whatever he wants to do in our lives. Unified believers embrace a new way of thinking. Believers do not embrace darkness. So see, there is something that we see here in verse 17 and 18. It says, I tell you to insist on living like this, that you must no longer live as Gentiles do. He's saying, don't live just the way you want to. Don't do whatever you want to, because they have a futility in their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding. And this idea of being darkened is something that we want to walk away from. We are new creatures in Christ. We are brand new. Did you know that every day that when you wake up, you are a brand new creation? You're a brand new creature. And sometimes what we do is we wake up and the first thing we do is, let me put on the old stuff that was so junky yesterday. Let me put all that back on and make sure that I can walk like I did yesterday. Yesterday is gone. Today is brand new. Let's live new lives as Christians do. But what happens is in our futility of our thinking, we go back to darkness. And I don't know if we completely understand this, but darkness is a difficult place to be. Darkness, we're searching, just kind of whatever happens, happens. I don't know what's going on here, but whatever happens, happens. Oh, is there greediness and lustfulness, and whatever happens, happens. You know, it's just dark in here, but that's what I'm used to. That's what I've grown accustomed to. And we can't live like that any longer. We have to live in the light. What we see here is believers do not embrace darkness. And this is a little bit different. And if you're taking notes, I want to make sure that you write down some notes with this note, okay? And I did this intentionally because I wanted to draw your attention to this, but believers do not embrace separation. And here's what I mean by that. What we see in this passage in verse 18, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God. What I wanted us to hear here is we will no longer embrace separation from God. And let me tell you something, in our homes, and I know that I'm the pastor, but trust me, I know what goes on in the homes. I know what goes on in the schools. I know what goes on at work. And I am saying, let's no longer agree to be separated from the things of God. Let's no longer say that this is my church life and that's my home life. Stay away. Let's no longer say this is my church life and that's my work life. Let's stay away. Let's embrace the fact that God wants to change our lives. Let's don't be separated from the things of God. Let's not be separated with those ingrained sins and habits. This particular passage, Paul is saying, look, the Gentiles, they are trying to figure out ways to sin. They're not even satisfied with the sins that are around right now. They are being creative in their sinning. It's like they try to sin their best, to the best of their ability. And as I thought about that through the week, I'm not trying to be ugly, but I wonder sometimes if Christians are any different. Like we are inventing ways to sin, as if God wouldn't recognize our sin because it's a brand new way to sin. I think what Paul is telling us is make sure that that's not who we are. What he goes on to say in this idea of separation is if you are separated from God, there are parts of you that are absolutely useless. We've been given over from birth to a depraved mind, says Romans chapter 1, verse 28. And that depravity says that even our thoughts, the stuff that we hold on to, the ingrained things that we've allowed to keep us from change, is actually useless stuff. It would be like saying, I've got something that I've been holding on to since I was 2 years old, and it is the ugliest, most worthless piece of junk you have ever seen, but I want that piece of junk to be right there in the middle of my living room. It means nothing to me. It means absolutely nothing to me, but I want to make sure that it's in the middle of everything I do in life. That's not right. And we can no longer embrace separation from God. This idea of separation also, just very quickly, and let me give you one more thought. This is the idea of suppressing truth. Again, going back to that Romans 1:18 passage, many of us have been studying Romans 1 in the Wednesday Bible study, but it's the idea of suppressing truth. The idea of saying that what God has for us, I no longer want. Romans 1:18 says the wrath of God is being revealed against wickedness. Of wickedness, men suppress the truth by their own wickedness. And it also goes on to say that we can know God even in the most difficult times because he is there. One last thing, and then I'm going to move on. This particular part that Paul is talking about, and he's saying you keep going back to something that is dead. Christians, hear me out. In our sin, we weren't a little sick. You understand that, right? We were completely dead. When Adam sinned, he died and he needed God. In our sin, it's not just something small. It's something huge, something that's killed us, says Romans chapter 5, verse 12, when Paul is trying to address sin in our lives. And he's saying that people continue to lust after darkness. And here's, again, one of the reasons that we don't embrace change, the reason that sometimes we don't look like believers, it's because we've allowed ourselves to continue to go back to darkness. It's actually worse than that, though. Paul goes on, and he talks about our sensitivity. I would say to us, unified believers, embrace a new awareness. Okay, I'm going to tell you how this works here in just a minute, but believers do not embrace sensuality. It's what he says here in verse 20 and 21. He says, having lost all sensitivity, they gave themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. This world is filled with sin. Our church is filled with sin. And here's the real struggle. Okay, look me in my whites again. I want you to know this. The struggle is that in so many ways, believers almost seem to be losing the daily war with sin. You want to know why? Because we have a lust for more. You wonder why you keep going back to that same ingrained sin? Because you have a lust for more. And let me tell you what's going on there. You're not allowing God to transform that particular area of your life. You're putting up roadblocks. You're saying, this is mine. I want to hold on to this. This makes me feel comfortable. This is what I know. I need to make sure that I can go back to this. And God is saying, trust me. I know what I'm doing. But we continue to push sensuality. Believers do not embrace that sensuality. Here he says that they have lost their sense of pain. They no longer feel what's going on. It's like a leper whose skin is coming off and they don't even feel it because they've lost sensitivity to pain. You know that Angie and I are from Southeast Texas. We believe that Louisiana is the foreign mission field, okay? But we lived right next to the foreign mission field of Louisiana, and Cajun country influenced our food. A number of you have gone down to Southeast Texas, and we always are able to share, here's where I would eat, this is what I would do. And there are things that Cajuns, again, like to eat. A couple of those things are crawfish. Now, if you've never had crawfish before and you've never sucked the head of a crawfish at a crawfish bowl, I mean, you just hadn't quite lived, okay? It is really something to do. Or if you've never had barbecue crabs before, you need to have barbecue crabs. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're going to boil some crabs and you're going to stick some barbecue sauce on that. No, that's not what Cajuns do. It's like a salt. It's like something that goes on top of the shell and you eat that crab. And really, you eat the whole thing, the shell and all, because it just tastes so good. Okay? Now, I noticed something. This is not scientific by any stretch of the imagination, but in our area where we come from, we always talk about getting the water hot before you start the boil. And that water is boiling. And once you put that crawfish or that crab in hot water, immediately they begin to disperse and they almost like they understand that they need to get out. They're about to die. And in our area, there have been people who said, you know, that's inhumane. You need to kill crawfish and crabs before you put them in the water because it hurts them. That's not the truth. But we have before seen where if you put crawfish in water and then you begin the boil, it's almost like the concept with the boiling frog. They never know what hits them. Here's what I want to make sure that we hear from my barbecue crabs and my crawfish. And there's no way for me to get that today. So, I mean, I'm sorry, that's difficult. But what I want us to hear is that even Christians sometimes lose their sensitivity to sin. There were times that you used to be sensitive to what used to happen on TV, and maybe perhaps now you no longer have sensitivity to TV. I can remember when I was in college and the first time that they were going to use curse words on primetime television and they were actually going to show skin on primetime television, what an uproar that was. And now that seems normal. Why? We've lost sensitivity. There used to be things that we would see and immediately say, that must be sin. And now we no longer call that sin. Why? Because we've lost sensitivity. That's what Paul is saying. He's actually told us you're going to lose sensitivity here because you're going to continue to think that sensuality and perversion is okay. And it's not okay for the believer. Remember the first time you were with a friend and they wanted to gossip about something and you thought, you know, that's really not right. Maybe you even said, hey, we really shouldn't do that. And then the reaction kind of spurred you on a little bit, and then that got a little bit more. Now it seems like the only time you get with your friends is when it's time to gossip. It's time to talk about somebody else, and it's almost become okay. Or even in our anger, sometimes we've gone off into the deep end with our anger, and we say, you know, it wasn't as bad as last time, and we've almost accepted as that is normal behavior. And while it may be normal behavior for folks in America and across the world, it is not normal behavior for the believer. Why? Because Paul tells us that we are to act like believers. We are putting on the new self. We are staying away from the old. We are not diving into sensuality. We are holding on to our sensitivity. Believers do not embrace sensuality. Believers do not embrace impurity. This impurity that he's saying here, he's talking about greediness. He's talking about living life differently. He's talking about that the world and what the world has to offer, you don't need that to survive. And then unified believers embrace a new journey. They embrace a new attitude, and they embrace a new self. And I want to give some thoughts here. This concept, when he goes from about verse 21 to 24, he really gets graphic in the Roman world. He really does. And I don't know that we truly see what he is saying, but he says here that it seems like that we keep on gravitating to our old self. He in a sense is saying here, everything that is impurity that has been set aside, it seems like you are holding on to. Here's the concept. When you cut your fingernails, you discard those. What Paul is trying to say is it's like you take those dirty fingernails and you hold on to those because that was part of you. Paul's saying here, it's like when you cut your hair, you pick up all that hair and you hold on to it because that was just part of you. Paul's saying it's like if you were to come across a corpse and you were to hold on to it and you were to drag that around with you. It's like your dead body and say, you know what? It stinks, it's rotten, it's awful, but I got to hold on to it because it's what I know. In the Roman world, when there was a murderer, what we would see is that many times they would take that murderer and they would stake that murderer to the ground. And they would take the victim and they would place that victim's dead corpse and place it on the murderer. And they would just be sitting there with the live body and the corpse sitting on top, decaying away from that body. And Paul is saying, that's what sin is doing to us. It's decaying us. It's aiding our loss of sensitivity. And we've continued to indulge in things that believers don't indulge in. Three thoughts from verse 22 through 24, and I'll be done. In verse 22, he says that we are to put off, take off the evil. In verse 23, he says that we are to be renewed. That's our new self. In verse 24, he says we are to put on the newness. Let's read that together, verse 22 through 24. It says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Let's get real here. The reason many Christians are not satisfied in their Christian lives is because they are living their Christian lives in a way that God never intended. We go back to the dirty, old, rotten corpse of ourselves and say, I want to bring that with me. God says, no, you're new. Then we say, okay, well, I am new. I'm going to live new, and I'm going to do what new people do. And then what happens is we get out into a world where we're supposed to be penetrating darkness, and what happens, it seems like we allow darkness to kind of dim our lights, because again, darkness cannot penetrate light. Light only penetrates darkness. And so what happens is when darkness seems to get into us, what we've done is we've started trying to distinguish our lower the light of Christ in our lives. It's not a conscious decision, but it's something that's happening to us as we're not careful about sensuality and sensitivity. You want to walk righteously? You want to walk in holiness? Put on the new self. Walk with the Lord. He's going to do something amazing in you. How do we do that? Paul doesn't say it here, but he does say it in Philippians. And this is, if you've been taking notes, just jot this verse down and let this kind of be your verse for the week even. Romans 12, 1 and 2 tells us that we are to no longer be conformed by the pattern of this world, but be transformed. But Philippians 4 kind of gives us a way to do that. It says this, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Believer, are you thinking on righteousness? Or are you going back to old self? Are you pursuing holiness? Or are you still trying to maintain what's happened in the past, even the things that are useless?
I think it's incredible that God wants to use us. Let's be sensitive to that. Why have I said unified believers in all of this? Here's why. Because none of this really can be accomplished on your own. Too many of us sitting right here, right now, are saying, okay, Pastor, I heard you. I took the notes. I'm going to go home and I'm going to start working on this. I'm not going to share this with anybody else. I'm just going to do this on my own because this is a singular journey. I would never want to confess my sin. I would never want anybody to know some of the things that I'm going through. I'm just going to do my own thing. I'm going to make it right and you will fail. That sounds awful, doesn't it? But you will. Because real Christianity, real walking with Christ requires accountability. Accountability is bringing light to your situation. When you do that on your own, when you walk in darkness, and you try to do that, try to accomplish things on your own, you can't win. And so I finish really with this thought. There are people here who maybe you like what you've heard, but you have no idea what I just said. And I would present to you that it's very possible you didn't catch what I said because you've never truly given your life to Jesus Christ. And this is a process that all of us can do. It's an easy process of admitting that you've done wrong, believing, putting your faith in Christ, and confessing that to others. And if you do that, you'll begin that new journey of walking with the Lord. And I believe that transformation will take place as we do that together. Maybe sometimes you sit in that pew and you say, I'm too rotten. I stink and I've got to get things right before I come to the Lord. I'm going to take the second story on this one. You don't get things right before you bring it to the Lord. He transforms you. And he'll do it today. Lord, this morning we are thankful for the privilege of knowing who you are. God, we're thankful for the understanding that you bring from Scripture. And God, we pray right now that really two things. If there is anyone here this morning that just sits in their rotten self because they've never given their lives to you, today is the day of salvation, God. We plead with you that you would reveal that to us, that you would show that to anyone here who's never put their faith in you, that today is the day of salvation. God, I'm also keenly aware that there are a number of people in this place who are wondering, how do I make it right? How do I walk in holiness? Why do I always do the things that I don't want to do and never do the things that I should do? And God, I would say to them, today's a brand new day. It's a new start. God, I pray that we would embrace the change that you give, that we would embrace the thought of saying, today we are made whole and new in Christ. I pray that we would not allow sin and deceit to hold us down any longer, but God, that we would walk in truth. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Would you stand together, Christians praying? And I know we get to this time of the service every single Sunday, and we say, he's almost done. God's through, let's get ready to go. But I just absolutely believe that God wants to use this time as we continue in worship for us to make commitment to him. And so if you have any thought, any wonder, if you need to do something this morning, I would challenge you to just walk in the truth. I would challenge you to be submissive. And I would challenge you to get accountability. We'd love to be able to do that with you. Come forward this morning. We'd love to pray with you. Even use that card that Scott talked about earlier on in the service. however the Holy Spirit is leading, all we are saying is trust Him, submit, and respond. You come as we sing.